There have been a number of changes at the McLean County Circuit Court in recent years, including ensuring that defendants have better access to justice, revisions to the drug laws, and a new bond-setting structure. Some additional changes are on the horizon, including the looming retirement of nearly a quarter of the county's judges. Associate Circuit Court Judge Leanne Hill will address some of those changes at a League of Women Voters-sponsored event tonight at the Moses Montefiore Temple in Bloomington. Hill sat down recently with GLT's Judy Valente to discuss how some of those changes will affect the public.
Leanne Hill has been on the bench for nearly 10 years, serving in the family division and handling criminal misdemeanor cases. Before joining the bench, she was an assistant public defender and in private criminal practice. During a break in trials, she sat down at the courthouse in an office filled with memorabilia of her favorite baseball team, the Chicago Cubs. Hill says one of the biggest changes in the court system went into effect January 1st. It's a requirement that all parties in civil cases file motions, pleadings, and other court documents electronically. That, Hill says, could place an additional burden on some citizens who don't have legal representation.
Pro se litigants, unrepresented folks, also have the same burdens of electronic filing in certain cases that the attorneys do. The attorneys were ready for it. They knew it was coming. They've been working on it. But January 1, electronic filing on all family and dissolution cases. And when you have pro se litigants that are technologically impaired or not technologically educated, or if they don't have cell phones or they don't have email, some of the mandates that were placed on us make it more difficult for the pro se litigants. Now, I think eventually that will get better, and our clerk's office has been fantastic about trying to walk through people through the process. But whenever you're dealing with technology, you're dealing with glitches and things on a daily basis. So sometimes that can slow the process down.
Some people may not even have a computer.
Oh, absolutely. There's also some waivers that can be allowed for people that don't have some access, but the process to get the waiver then can also be, you know, a little arduous for people that don't know the system well.
What would you recommend to help people who may find this a hardship?
The court can't do a lot other than we try to give out handouts that explain the process to people and try to give them out in a language that's a little more understanding. It's not like reading a computer manual. So we try to give them just an instruction about how they go through the process of electronic filing. Once we're able to give these handouts to the people, or they can also get them in the clerk's office or the law library that have the instructions, we also have the navigators in the law library that can help them, the Justice Corps that can help them, and then we have the clerk's office that will also help people. There's a kiosk in our circuit clerk's office on the fourth floor civil, and then there's also one up in the law library. So there's usually, on most days, someone there to at least help.
You mentioned the Justice Corps a couple of times. Maybe you can explain exactly what that is.
Justice Corps kind of came out of the mandate from the Supreme Court of helping people. But basically what their job is to help answer questions, direct folks in the right place without giving legal advice. Obviously, most of them are college students that are doing internship work, that type of thing. Some may be law students, but a lot of them are undergrads, so they really can't give advice, but they can help them navigate the system.
There have been some changes to the bond system. Could you summarize those changes and what you think is good about them or what needs to still be altered?
Yeah, they've made some significant changes in the bond statute, obviously. The courts are really looking strongly at getting away from a cash bond system and going to, in most cases, a no cash bond system. And this is kind of...
What would that mean?
What it would mean is that people would be let out on their own recognizance if the offenses are low level, if they are not a danger to the community, and they do not believe that they will abscond or not come back to court. I mean, the purpose of bond is to assure parties' appearance in court and to protect the community. And that's really where the new bond reform is going, is to keep these low-level offenders out. But I know many states, and they're arguing nationally for getting away from cash bond systems because the cash bond system, you know, invariably affects the poor and the indigent more so than anyone else. But there are certain offenses, obviously, that, you know, put the community at risk or a risk that the party is not going to appear in court. So you have to take that into consideration. So I don't think we'll never go to a completely no cash bond system. But I think it's going to grow to where more and more charges will be low-level setting of bonds or no cash bond at all.
What incentive then would there be for someone to show up if so many more people get out on their personal recognizance and there's no monetary penalty if they don't show up?
Obviously, the risk to not showing up in court is getting a warrant. And once you've been PR'd on something or you've gotten a low-level bond, if you don't appear in court, then the next time you're picked up on that warrant, the judge is going to be much less likely to give you that break that you got the first time. There's been some studies on what they call the three-day rule in people that are in custody and what happens after 3 days if they cannot post bond, loss of jobs, loss of family, loss of family support. So, you know, going on that, you have to look at these low-level offenses, and, you know, you want people to be responsible for their actions, but you don't want to destroy their lives for a low-level offense.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Judy Valente. I'm here with Judge Leanne Hill, an associate judge of the McLean County Circuit Court. You're in criminal misdemeanor as well as a little bit in family court, some time in family court. In the misdemeanor court, what are some of the observations you could make about how the justice system is working from the types of cases that you see?
Things have changed significantly since I became a judge. I've been a judge just short of 10 years now, and I've sat in misdemeanor court before, and in years past, a lot of the misdemeanor docket that you saw were low-level cannabis offenses and paraphernalia offenses. Well, we see many, many fewer of those cases now, that the low-level violations that are now considered civil violations. So they're, you know, equivalent to a traffic ticket where you're given a citation and a fine, and it's not a criminal conviction. So we have much fewer drug cases that we do in misdemeanor. But, and I think what that does is free up the state's attorney's office then to concentrate on more serious offenses, domestic battery offenses, child endangerment type offenses. So I think it probably gives the state's attorneys much more time for screening cases that are more significant than a low-level cannabis case, somewhere where there's actually a victim other than society, where there's an actual victim that's been a victim of domestic battery or child abuse. Probably the biggest thing that I've noticed more, and obviously it's very high profile, is the problems with mental health. And I'm not sure if the mental health issues, there seem to be more people with mental health issues, or we're just much more in tune with it because of the things that we've had happen in the past and the fact that we're building this new addition to the jail to help us deal with mental health patients. You know, it's becoming something that we're really taking a look at, because the jail is not always the appropriate place for a mental health patient, but sometimes that when there's an offense, there's no other place to put them until such time as we can get them in a hospital bed or get them treated to where they're not a danger to themselves or other people.
Isn't there a mental health court now?
We do have a mental health court. Judge Yoder runs the mental health court. It's called Recovery Court. It has mostly mental health patients, but there's a crossover very much between recovery court and drug court, because so many mental health patients are dual diagnosis. They have an addiction and they have mental health issues. So they try to steer the folks with more drug problems to drug court, the people with more mental health problems to recovery court. And that it is a great benefit to us locally. But it's usually saved for the most serious cases. And it should be, as it should be. High need. You know, wherever there's high need, you need high attention. So that's the best place to be. But where I see the issues are is when you have mental health patients that are these low-level offenders. They get a lot of trespasses because many of them are homeless. They don't have any place to sleep. So they're going into restaurants, or they're sleeping in the hallways of apartment buildings. They alarm and disturb people, some of them, because of their behavior. They may not be violent at all, but their behavior startles people. So we get a lot of these low-level offenses with mental health, and then you have to get them into the doctor, and then you have, and you know, that's like can be like herding cats at times. And then you have to place them in, you know, some type of facility that's the least restrictive. Well, depending on the degree of their mental illness, it may be waiting for a bed at DHS, or it may be getting them referred to the Center for Human Services so that they can get proper medication and counseling. And those resources are not always readily available.
There are maybe some changes in the offing on the bench, the judiciary here in McLean County. Number of people seem to be ready to retire. They have enough years to retire. What's the situation? How many people may be retiring? And
I'm not going to name all the names I know about, because I think it's up to the individual judge to make their formal announcement when they're ready to go. What I will tell you is Judge Fitzgerald has already announced his retirement in 2018 because he was up for election, and so that slot needed to come open so that once he leaves, we can transition somebody right in. Judge Yoder is running for that position. Well, what that in turn means, assuming that Judge Yoder would go into Judge Fitzgerald's position, is that we have another associate judge slot open. Judge Butler has, as well as myself, have both indicated that we intend to retire at the end of 2018. We're both associate judges, and so that means two more associate judgeships come open. There are Judge Harris, who was in Logan County, part of our circuit, has officially now been appointed rather than assigned to the appellate court. And as of right now, he is unopposed in the upcoming primary. So very soon we expect he will officially resign his circuit judge slot that was still in Logan County. So what that means is a circuit judgeship will come up in Logan County. So anticipating there's someone will run from the outside, or one of the sitting judges down there, or both could run for that position. There's another judge. I'm not going to, you know, say his name, but there's a judge from Livingston County that indicates that he's very close to the end of his tenure, too. So what I see is, unfortunately, a lot of institutional knowledge that's going to be lost. But the judges that aren't retiring are very good about mentoring the new judges that will be coming in, and I have faith that that will all happen. It's just we haven't had a period where we've had, you know, changes in position in such a short period of time, which basically amount to about 18 months.
So I've counted about five or six that are potential retirements out of?
Out of 21.
Out of 21. So that's quite a substantial number. As you say, you lose institutional memory, but there's also an opportunity to get some fresh blood in there. I'm wondering what you think about the fact that we have no African Americans on the circuit, that we have only one Hispanic, and very few women.
I'm actually four. It's myself, Judge McFarland, Judge Foley, and Judge Bochneck that's up in Livingston. So there are four. Yeah, and when you could consider the percentages there, it is a low percentage. As far as African American, yes, we do not have an African American judge. We've had very few African American applications that I have seen during my tenure. I believe as far as Hispanic judges, obviously Judge Eves, who's one of our newer judges, a Hispanic judge, we have not seen the applications, I think, from the minority populations here in McLean County, and maybe that is because there's not a high as percentage of minority attorneys in this area. So, but any degree that improves our diversity, improves our, you know, ability to have different ideas and input, only makes us a stronger judiciary. So I encourage any of those folks that are interested to apply, because it is something that McLean County is very interested in. And Judge Robb and then Judge Fitzgerald following up has always made it a priority to make sure that these judgeships or associate judgeships that are opened up to everyone, and everyone is considered.
Maybe it's incumbent a bit on the judiciary to encourage minority candidates.
Absolutely. I think we absolutely have to do so. We need to encourage more women. We need to encourage more minorities. We need them in law schools. We need them in the state's attorney's office and the public defender's office so we can see them daily in court. They need them in civil court so that we can get a more diverse pool. The more diverse pool we have, the more diverse ideas we have. You know, ideas for solutions to problems that maybe we didn't see because of the way we were brought up, different perspectives.
Leanne Hill is a judge in the McLean County Circuit Court, 11th District. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Judith. It was a pleasure.
I'm Judy Valente.
Judge Leanne Hill speaks tonight at 7 at Moses Montefiore Temple on Robin Hood Lane in Bloomington. The talk is part of an ongoing public discussion sponsored by the McLean County League of Women Voters. You're listening to Sound Ideas on 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.